I want to thank everyone who was next door this morning. I see that button. Raise your hand if you got that blood sticker on you. Thank you. Thank you for giving life to many. Yeah. So we take offerings. We take blood. It's good. Thank you so much for participating in the blood drive. All right. It's my privilege to invite our international guest and friend to speak on our values. She's going to be sharing about the value that we have here for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Her name is Priscilla Reed. She, evidently, I asked Paul to introduce her in first service, and someone, here's the story. Someone asked Paul Reed, who was the best preacher, if he was the best preacher at Christian Fellowship Church in Belfast? And he said, no, I'm not even the best preacher in my home, much less the best preacher in the church. And so, Priscilla, would you come share God's word with us? Thank you so much.
Thanks, Merle. It's great to be back in Harrisonburg again. I always say it feels like a home from home. So thank you for making us feel so welcome. I'm not going to be as foolish as my husband last week, who gave you some political advice. I'm not going to go there. I'm a much wiser person than he is. but I get the privilege of talking about the Holy Spirit this morning, one of the values of this church in Grace. And it's one of my favorite topics, so thank you for allowing me to talk about him this morning. And of course, my other favorite topic, when you're a grandparent, your other favorite topic is your grandchildren. And we got a new grandbaby since we've been here last. Cora was born in July, so we have another little granddaughter, and we have another one due in November. So we are doing our best to subdue the earth and populate it. And because we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're talking about how he is essential to our lives as believers, and when he comes into our lives, he comes with gifts, and he comes and speaks with us and equips us. I've got a great grandchild story to tell you, so it brings both of those things together. We have a little grandson called Charlie, and he lives in Cambridge, England, and he's got a very English accent. And at the end of the summer, he came running into his mom, and he said, "Mom, I've heard God speak to me for the first time." And he was very excited. So Deb said to him, "So what did he say, Charlie?" He said, "Well, Mom, I was on my trampoline, and I was bouncing, and..." This was his words. Where he gets this from, I have no idea. But he said, "I was singing my hymns of praise to God. And God spoke to me." And Deb said, "What did he say, Charlie?" "He said, bravo." So if you were ever in any doubt that God is an Englishman, he's definitely an Englishman. And Charlie, but isn't it wonderful that a child of five, the first time he would feel like he'd heard the Father's voice, the Father said to him, "Bravo." He said, "Well done." And so that is why it's so wonderful to be in relationship with the living God who speaks today through his Spirit. And as we come to think of this topic this morning, I suppose as I reflected on it, I realized I became a Christian, I always believed in the Holy Spirit. I believed that he was in me, that I needed him to live this Christian life. But I have to say that God the Father and God the Son got a lot more airplay in my life than God the Holy Spirit. I really didn't understand him. I couldn't really quite get my head around him. And, you know, as I went to college and I met friends who did talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, I was both intrigued but fearful. It sort of made me slightly fearful about this person I was hearing about that I couldn't quite understand. I think for me, honestly, it was a thing about, you know, I didn't want to be somebody who would lose control. And as they talked about him and talked about the experiences they had with him, you know, I thought, I'm not sure that I would want that to happen to me. And so I became almost afraid of the Holy Spirit and even more afraid of those people who talked about him, because they seemed very strange in my way of thinking. And I remember, too, in the early 70s, Paul and I going to something in Belfast, which is our home city, and it was a thing called Come Together, and a group of folk from America had come and put this on, put a big choir together, and it was a big presentation of the gospel, and we went, and so for the first time in our lives, we were in a setting where people raised their hands in worship. I had never seen that before. In fact, Paul and I were sort of talking to each other and said, "You know, do they want to go to the restroom? What's going on here?" And there were all sorts of strange things happening. At one point, somebody said, "Let's give a clap offering to the Lord." What is a clap offering to the Lord? We came from a very quiet church. Very silent. You didn't do things like that. And so the whole thing was strange to us and made worse by the fact, if you know anything of our history in Northern Ireland and our divisions, at one point they said to give each other a greeting and to, you know, embrace one another. Well, that was another thing we didn't do in church. And this little nun was about, you know, three or four seats down the row from us, and she started to come towards us with bright smile on her face, and we thought, oh my goodness, where have we come to? We need to get out of here quick, and we did. And so for us, for quite a long time, the Holy Spirit was someone we didn't understand, and we were slightly fearful of. But I'd have to say, in the last 32, 33 years, the Holy Spirit has revolutionized my life. He has changed my thinking. He's changed my worldview. He's changed my worship. He's just changed everything about me and what I understand about God. And the New Testament church was entirely dependent on the Holy Spirit for everything. I don't know if you saw the film Risen that was out in the cinemas around Easter time, and I went to see it, and I thought it was a good movie. But what it did for me was I sort of started to realize, you know, when you saw the disciples after the resurrection, I mean, they were a bit of a ragtag bunch. And even after the resurrection, they didn't seem to have their act together. They were still fearful. They were still wanting to hide away. They didn't really know what was going on. And it made me realize that the thing that turned them into world changers was Pentecost. Because Jesus had told them, you stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes, and he will come upon you, and he will give you power. And so it was only when that happened that suddenly this ragtag bunch of people who didn't know what they were about actually turned their world upside down. And so they were dependent on the Holy Spirit for everything. He is not an optional extra in our lives. He is essential. If we're going to live courageously in this world, this increasingly skeptical, secular world, then we are going to have to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. If we're going to see him move in our world, and we're going to see broken lives put together, broken communities changed, then we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is why it's so important that as a church family, we honor him. And we honor his work, not only in our lives individually, but we honor his work amongst us. We make room for him. We make room for him in our lives. We make room for him in our small groups. And we make room for him when we gather together like this. We make room for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because when he comes with his gifts. You read about those in the New Testament, and he pours out his gifts, and he gives us tools to equip us in order to touch this world with the love and the grace of God. So who is he? Who is this Holy Spirit? And it might seem very obvious, but the first thing that we need to underline is he is God. He is God. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he is not a junior partner in the Trinity. He is fully God. When you read about him in the Bible, you read that he is omnipotent, all-powerful. You read that he is omniscient, all-knowing. You read that he is omnipresent, ever-present. Those are all the qualities of God, and he displays them all. The psalmist says, "Where can I go from your presence?" He is God. But the second thing about him is he is a person. don't refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. He's not an it. He's a person. And that means that we can interact with him. We can know him. We can develop a relationship with him. And again, in Scripture, you read about the Holy Spirit acting. You read about him thinking. You read about him feeling. He is a person for us to know. And he is Spirit. Jesus talked about him and described him in John 3. He talked about him as the wind, that you can see the effects of the wind as it moves the trees and the leaves in the trees. But in a sense, you can see it and yet you can't see it. There is an aspect of mystery when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And I think that's probably why I was so uncomfortable with him, because I couldn't quite understand him. Perhaps in a way it was slightly easier to understand the Father and the Son. So he is Spirit. And all through the Old Testament, we see his activity in Scripture from the beginning right through the Old and then into the New. His activity in the Old Testament is slightly different to how we experience him today. But nevertheless, it reveals something of who he is to us. He was there at creation in the very beginning, just as God the Father and God the Son, so the Spirit was there, breathing life into man, bringing order out of chaos. He is a life giver. And that's why we honor him, because wherever he comes, he brings life. He brings hope. He speaks today. And then in the Old Testament, what happened was, he came on specific people for a particular task. Now, the wonderful thing is today, if you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you get the promise that the Spirit of God will come and live in you, and he will fill you, and he will empower you and enable you to live for God. But in those days, the Spirit of God did not come upon all. He came on particular people for a particular task. We read about it. He came upon Gideon, and Gideon was called to lead God's people. So the Spirit of God came upon him to enable him to have courage to lead. He came upon Samson at the end of his days. He came upon Samson and gave him strength to see Israel's enemies defeated. He came upon the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and he enabled them to speak God's word to his people. And I love, there's a person in Exodus, and you read about him, and he's called Bezalel. And if you read about Bezalel, it says the Holy Spirit came upon him for artistic work. So he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. When we use that word, that's basically what we're saying. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit for artistic work. How amazing is that? That God values that creativity in our lives, and he actually comes and empowers us to express that creativity in our lives as well. And so for us this morning, it's not that he just comes on some of us some of the time. This is not for some super spiritual elite. This is if we're a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit, and he wants to empower us, and he wants to take those creative gifts that he's given us, and he wants to enable us to express something of who he is to the people that we find ourselves amongst. Whatever you need this morning, whatever you need, whether it's courage, whether it's strength, whatever you're called to do, the Holy Spirit can come and he can empower you to live for him. This whole idea of artistic ability. You know, this morning, I'm going to give a few prophetic words to people. That's one of the gifts that we're talking about, that the Spirit of God brings when he fills us. And if you're not used to this, find somebody in grace and have a chat with them about it. It's simply a gift which enables us to listen to God and then express to someone else what we feel is God's heart for that person at that particular moment in time. And if God sort of directs me to give something to you, you take it, pray over it, think about it, and you know, and you check it out with the Lord to make sure that it's from him, okay. But on this whole thing of artistic ability and God anointing us and empowering us, there is a young man. And you're sitting right at the end of a row. And the guy beside you, I should know his name, and I've forgotten his name. He's got a beard, and he's got a check shirt. That's you. And I just, you know, I feel like the Lord's drawing me to you to say, you know, you have those creative abilities on the inside of you. That is what God has imparted to you. And I just feel like he really wants you to understand that it is wonderful to be creative, and he will provide lots of opportunities for you. And I think, too, that there will be many, many opportunities. I just think that even the Lord is saying to you this morning, it's okay to explore lots of different things. I think people are very quick to want to sort of get you on a track and run on that track. I feel like the Lord is saying, you know, I want you to explore a lot of options. I want you to explore a lot of things. And in the exploring, you will learn a lot. You will learn a lot about me, and you will learn a lot about yourself. But I also think that the Lord's saying that this isn't just that you're a gifted young man with creative abilities, but you're going to understand what it is for to give those creative abilities back to God, and then for him to empower them in a way that if it was just you doing it, it would be good, but it wouldn't be amazing. And as you give it back to God, God promises you, I'm going to come, I am going to bless those creative giftings, and I am going to use them to open up people's eyes to see the kind of God that you're in relationship with, because you know he's amazing. And you're going to live that out. And so for all of us, whatever it is that we require this morning, whatever it is that we're looking for the Lord to come and do in our lives, he says, I will come and I will pour it out upon you. Again, I'm looking straight at a young man in a blue t-shirt, just right here. And you know, I mentioned about Samson and strength. Now, it was at the end of his life, and you're not at the end of your life. But I really believe that the Lord wants you to know that as you open up your life to the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through you, he is going to put such a strength on the inside of you that you're going to know that even though perhaps you don't see yourself as the strongest Christian in the world, that God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. I want to show you what it's like that when your life is filled with the Holy Spirit, that the strength that I can impart to you, and that you will be strong in the Lord, that you will stand strong for him. And I believe that where God is taking you or already has placed you, you know, it is hard to stand strong. And as a young man in your generation, it's hard to stand strong. And the Lord understands that. But he says, I want to put a strength in you, and where there will be no turning back, where you will be focused on him, where you will have an undivided heart, and you will be strong in God. And that will enable you to take on some things that by yourself you wouldn't have done. But because you know the Lord is with you, you'll take those things on. He wants to be your strength. And so those are just two young men in this audience. But for you this morning, if you say, Lord, I need this empowering in this area of my life, then reach out to him and ask him to fill you and come with his strength and his power. And of course, in the Old Testament in particular, there was amazing promises to the children of Israel that while they were experiencing something of the Holy Spirit's power, there was going to come a day when everything was going to change. The prophets in particular were full of those promises. You know, Ezekiel talked about a river flowing out of the temple, and it was signifying a flow of God's Spirit that would happen in a future age. Joel talked about that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, on men, on women, on young, on old. And that is the portion of scripture that Peter quoted at Pentecost. This is it. This is it happening. God's Holy Spirit being poured out on all. Isaiah talked about it. He talked about God going to do a new thing. That was very much part of my journey and Paul's journey when it came to understanding who the Holy Spirit was. I remember him coming in one day and saying that he'd been listening to a song, a worship song. You young people won't even know what this is. I was going to say scripture and song. You'll not know what scripture and song is, but you won't even know it was on a cassette. That is definitely vintage these days. And he was listening, and he said, there was a song on, and it just kept saying, Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and wonderful things that you know nothing of. And it had just resonated in his heart. And I said, what do you think that means? He says, I've no idea. I've no idea. But I just think it's a promise from the Lord. And again, there's a young man and you're sitting just in front of the sound booth and you're pretty much in the middle of the row with a brown t-shirt and a, yep. I just said the verse and I think it's for you today. The Lord says to you, if you call unto me, if you call to me, I'm talking in the authorized version when I use these words, but if you call to me, I want to show you great and wonderful things that at this point you don't know anything about. That God wants to expand your mind. He wants to expand your heart. He wants to expand your spirit because there is a call of God on your life. He's got some things that he has for you to do, just as he had for us to do. And we needed to experience God in a new way. And I just feel like the Lord said, I'm giving you this promise today. If you take it seriously, I will show you. You won't have to make it happen. God will show you the great and wonderful things that at this point you don't know about. And for all of us, that there is this promise that he comes with the new. He is an amazingly creative God. The Holy Spirit is amazingly creative. And so I think even in our little house church, the first prophetic word we had, which we didn't know was a prophetic word because we didn't know what that was. Somebody read, you know, forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And then they paused and they said, I have no idea why I read that. And then we all had a conversation about it. What do you think this is? I think God, you know, and we had this amazing conversation. And God is still doing the new thing in our lives. And God wants some of you to hear today, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing. There's a young man and you're sitting beside the guy in the blue t-shirt. That makes it easy for me. You give him a nudge. He doesn't look as if he knows I'm talking to him. Forget the former things. Don't dwell in the past. I feel the Lord wants to close some doors in your life. He wants you to be a young man who's looking forward. Paul talks about running a race. And he says, I'm running this race and I'm going to catch hold of what God has caught hold of me for. I'm striving towards that goal. And I just feel like God is putting a runner in you in terms of running after God. And that as you run after him and he fills you with the Holy Spirit, he says, there's some things in your past and I'm closing the door to them and I don't want you to open the door again. I want you to be focused on what's ahead. I want you to follow after me and I will open new doors for you. He is the God who closes doors, but he's also the God who opens doors. And I just feel like you need to know that as you reach out to the Lord, his favor will be upon you. His favor will be upon your life and he will open the right doors for you. Let's all of us press on for the new thing that God has for you. You might be here in grace today and you haven't had experiences of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you came and it's all new to you. And God's saying, I've got something new to do in your life. And you do not need to be afraid of this Holy Spirit. But he will come and he will empower you and he will strengthen you. There's nothing you need to be afraid of. He comes to equip us and fill us with a sense of who we belong to. Because it's the Spirit in us that witnesses with our own spirit that we are children of God. So he brings a security with him as well in terms of our relationship with the Lord. These were exciting prophecies in the Old Testament that took over 300 years to be fulfilled. But as you move into the New Testament, you come into great activity of the Holy Spirit, where at the time of Jesus' birth, the Spirit is very active. The Spirit of God comes on Mary, and she gives birth to the Son of God. And we have those amazing prophetic utterances of Mary, of Elizabeth, of Simeon, and others. There was great activity of the Spirit as Jesus comes. And of course, John the Baptist talked about Jesus and said, I baptize with water. But here's one coming, and he's going to baptize you with fire. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And that's a good image to keep in your mind, because if you've ever seen anyone baptized in this church, they They dunk them, we say. You know, they put them right under the water and they come up and they're completely soaked with water. And John said, that's the way I baptize people. But Jesus is going to do the same with you, but with the Holy Spirit. So it's like the same idea, completely drenched in the Spirit of God. That's what baptism in the Spirit is all about. Jesus talked about wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit of God comes upon you. But he also talked about living waters flowing in you. And that's that dual experience where the Holy Spirit just completely fills us and drenches us. And then, of course, Paul the Apostle, he says to us, not only to be baptized in the Spirit, but to be continually filled with the Spirit. That we constantly need to, on a daily basis, we come and we say, today, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Why would we need to do that every day if he has drenched us and filled us? Because we leak. We're human. We leak. And on a regular basis, whatever your experiences of the Spirit of God has been, God says, I want to fill you every day with my Holy Spirit. And in Jesus, we see the amazing example of a Spirit-filled man. Yes, he was God, but he was a complete whole man. And he lived out for us what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit on a daily basis. He was led by the... He was the, when he was baptized, the Spirit came as a dove and rested on him, but we read about him being led by the Spirit. We read of him ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. Here was a Spirit-filled man. And then, of course, Jesus comes and he promises to satisfy our thirst. He comes and he says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. In fact, why don't we read it together in John? At the end, near the end of John chapter 7, in verses 37 and 38, this is what it says. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit. I want to give you a wee bit of a context here for this. Because Jesus was in Jerusalem. He was at the temple because this was part of the feast. It was one of the Jewish feasts. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. And the people were celebrating this feast. In fact, his brothers had told him earlier on that you should go up to Jerusalem and you should go to this festival and make yourself known. And he'd actually gone up secretly. And so this feast was when the children of Israel remembered the time that they had spent in their history in the wilderness, when they had been nomads, when they had lived in tents, when God had provided for them in a desert place. And this feast was to help them remember that that's what God had done for them and that they served a faithful God. In fact, they were invited to make little booths. Even if you go to Israel today, during the Feast of Tabernacles, people make little makeshift booths on their balconies and decorate them. And in those days, they were expected to live in those booths during the feast. And it was a constant reminder to them that they served a faithful God. But they looked back, but there was an element with the Feast of Tabernacles where they all also looked forward. It was the only feast that the Gentiles were included in, which is amazing, because the idea of the feast was a looking forward to the day when Messiah would come and the Holy Spirit would be released. So it had that kind of prophetic significance to it. And so what they did was there were two symbols. There was the symbol of the little booth that was a symbol of the faithfulness of God when they lived in tents. But there was this other symbol that happened on a daily basis where the priests from the temple would go down to the pool of Siloam and they would gather water there in the evening and they would bring it up and they would pour it out on the altar. And this was done with huge celebration. It was like a party. They would go down I was just going to say they were Irish Jews. They would go down and they would get the water, and there was music, there was dancing, there was singing. They had these enormous candelabras with candles on them. The place was filled with light. You can read it. It's a historical fact. This is what happened. And they'd go down, and then with this great procession, they came up to the temple and they poured the water out on the altar. And the water was symbolic of the Holy Spirit, because actually the pool of Siloam was seen to be what was talked about in the Old Testament as a well of salvation. It was seen to be symbolic of that well of salvation, because the kings of Israel were anointed with the water from the pools of Siloam. So it spoke to the people of the Spirit of God. And as they poured it out, what they were celebrating was a coming day when the Messiah would be here and the Holy Spirit would be flowing out. And Jesus, in the middle of all of this, on the last day of the feast, stands up. And everybody would have heard him. And he shouted in a loud voice. And we just read it. And let me read it again. In a loud voice, he says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." And he talks about the rivers of living water. He says, you've got this water from a spring that feeds the pool of Siloam. But here I am. I am the Messiah. I am among you. This thing that you're celebrating, it's actually being fulfilled in your midst, and you don't see it and you don't understand it. And if you believe in me, it won't be a little trickle that feeds this pool. It will be rivers of living water that will rush forth from you, and it will never, ever end. It's an ever-flowing stream. And Jesus stands and he makes it available to all. The only qualification you need is, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? And he says, come to me. Come to me and drink. And if you drink, it'll be your drinking from the Spirit. And of course, Jesus did go on and explain to his disciples after this about there would come a day when the Spirit would be given, the Counselor who would be given. And then after his death and resurrection and ascension to heaven, the disciples do wait in Jerusalem. And this living water is poured out upon them in remarkable ways. And they begin to speak in other tongues. They get new languages to praise God in. The prophetic begins to flow. They begin to speak the wonders of God to the people around them. And they're filled with an amazing boldness to share the good news of Christ. And they do move out into the nation surrounding them. And they start to change their world. That was the impact of the Spirit of God upon them. And as we come to a finish today, because he's too big to discuss in just a short time on a Sunday morning, there's so much more to him. But Jesus stands here today and he says, are you thirsty? If you've never had an experience with the Holy Spirit, are you thirsty for it? And if you've had lots of experiences of the Holy Spirit, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Come to me. Come to me. Come and get a drink, and I will fill you. Because Jesus also said, when you ask your Father for bread, he won't give you a stone. And he said this, speaking of the Spirit. I know whenever the first time I was prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I was very nervous. I held two things in my mind. I thought, I'm so scared to ask someone to pray for me. I'm afraid something will happen. That's a bit scary. And I'm also afraid nothing's going to happen. And as folk prayed for me, so clearly those words of Jesus came to me. If you ask me for bread, I'm not going to give you a stone. And it wouldn't have looked very spectacular to you. But I knew. I was saying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And I knew that he was doing exactly that. And he will do that for you this morning, if it's a first experience or if it's a 101st experience. All you need to do is be thirsty, and you're coming to Jesus. We have put water at the four corners of the building. There's water at the back. There's water here at the front. And as we begin to worship in a moment, I'm just saying, if you're thirsty, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and get a drink. And as you take this physical water, And as you drink it, you might want to take it back to your seat with you. As you drink it, trust that the Spirit of God is filling you just as that water is refreshing you, that He will fill you. We have a ministry team. They're going to come and stand at the front. You might want to drink the water, but also come and allow them to pray for you. You don't need to tell them your life history. All you need to do is say your name and then let them pray, because you're not coming to them this morning. You're coming to Jesus, and He wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit. And so why don't we stand together? Father, I'm so, so grateful that we can know You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we honor You and we welcome You here amongst us. Father, thank You that You gave us Your Spirit. We are so grateful. But Lord, we're also a thirsty people. We're thirsty, Lord, for more of You, because You are so much greater than we will ever be able to understand. So we're thirsty for more. And Father, for anyone here this morning, perhaps who's never begun a journey with You, they've never entered into a relationship with You, I just pray right now that they would know that just by reaching out to You and saying, God, I want to know You. I thank You that You gave Your Son to die for me. I want to begin a relationship with You. I ask You, come into my life today. Thank You for what Jesus did for me at the cross, that He died for me to forgive me, to give me a new beginning. You know, You might, as we come and take this water, You might want to pray that prayer and then come and get a drink and let the Holy Spirit fill your life today. But for all of us, wherever you are in your Christian experience, Jesus says, come if you're thirsty. Come if you're thirsty, come and get a drink. Let's just worship Him and come and drink and let Him fill us afresh this morning in Jesus' name.